had a little difference in the Christmas story. I'm sure many of you were, as last week, were expecting to come in. We talked about that we'd go with the typical Christmas stories and go along from there. But we ended up starting with Abraham all the way back in Genesis. And then we're going to skip right over all that, and say that all that led up into the real reason that we celebrate Christmas, and that is not just the birth, but the death and the resurrection of Jesus, right? So I've mentioned this multiple times. If somebody was to be born by the name of Jesus out here in this world and were to claim to be God, but yet we saw no actual effects of it, it would be just another crazy person being born that thought that they were God, right? We have those somewhat regularly. We have lots of cults that establish. Some of them, some of these cults are even exceptionally large to the point that they have their own many beliefs or groups out there that are huge and based on men, based on the world, based on really nothingness. We fall into these points in life where we follow what men say. However, Jesus was something totally different, and Christmas is totally different because this is actually God coming down and walking among us. What a celebration. Say it every year, we would not celebrate Christmas if it wasn't for Easter. If it wasn't for Jesus just giving his life to us to pay for our sins and then showing he was God on that resurrection day, we would not celebrate Christmas, right? We put all this time and this effort into Christmas, and yet the only reason is because we know that God came to save us. So let's open our books, our Bibles, not our books, but our Bibles, to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. And I know that many of us will read there in the beginning, you know, and was the word, but we're going to skip over that for just a minute because we read that entirely, but we need to go on into verse 6 here. And I want John's explanation, because what he does here in the beginning of chapter 1 is he's kind of telling us a general idea of what he's going to write about in the entire book of John, right? So we say this in this way. When we tell a story, right off the bat, the first thing that we need to do when we tell a good story is, I know Brielle has been writing a little bit, right, Brielle? Brielle is an exceptional artist. She's been writing a lot. But you don't just go into the story and just start talking about random things without first explaining who the characters are at the beginning, right? Like, anybody ever, like, started a reading a book and you realize that somehow you must have skipped over something? Anybody ever done that? Right? We've done that before. Maybe you thought you were on chapter 3, but you were really on chapter 2. So when you start reading chapter 3, you said, man, I missed something. This makes absolutely no sense. John here tells us in the most absolute condensed form what he's going to be writing about. And I got one question in our youth group. It's the answer that answers everything, right? And I'll ask Caden, is Caden in here? No, he stepped out for a second, didn't he? Dude, I called him out. That's awesome. I love that. When he comes back in here, will you guys just be like, hey, you know, wave at him for a minute? I'll give us the pause time, okay? But for my other kiddos, there is one answer that always answers, and you're like, yes, let's explain a little bit. What's the answer? Do you guys know? It's Jesus, right? It's always the answer. If you say, why do you think that Moses did this? Well, Jesus. And you can't say no, because it's the answer. But John describes Jesus in the absolute most condensed way that he can so that everything else makes sense. And the way that he does that is in order for us to realize how important Christmas is, how important everything that we celebrate is, how important our day-to-day lives are, how important our worship is, that we have to first, before we understand anything else in this Bible, before we understand what creation is, we first have to understand who Jesus is, right? We can't understand creation without Jesus, right? Hey, Caden, welcome back. Come on in. Hey. He'll be able to answer this question on the spot. What's the one answer that always works in class? Okay, there you go. But we have to understand, in the beginning, Jesus was there. He was always there. He was a part of creation. He was a part of everything. It wasn't that he was sometime created, that God just decided, hey, you know what? I need to maybe fix these problems down here. I'm going to have a son that I'm going to create. He was always there, John spoke. He was a part of everything and everything was with him. And those are your first five verses that explaining what the word is, why we're here. John does an excellent job at that. But starting in verse 6, let's read. We're going to go through verse 18. It says, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify about the light so that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but he came to testify about the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was created through him, and yet the world did not recognize him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, he gave them the right to be children of God. To those who believe in his name, who were born not of natural descent, or of the will of the flesh, or of the will of man, but of God. The word became flesh and dwelt among us. We observed his glory, the glory as the one and only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testified concerning him and exclaimed, this was the one whom I said, the one coming after me ranks ahead of me because he existed before me. Indeed, we have all received grace upon grace from his fullness. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, the one and only Son who is himself God and is at the Father's side. He has revealed him. Let's pray. Lord God, as we dig into your word today, allow your words to be spoken. Allow your words to just be studied and known and discovered. Lord, open up your word to us today. Allow us to understand and give us the wisdom to go out and share it with the world. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Man, so as we dig in here, first we have to learn about this guy, John. And I harass Terry all the time because as we study this, I ask which John are we talking about. And in this situation, we have two different Johns, that are writing here. We got the brother John that is writing, right, Terry? I like Terry shaking his head yes back there. And then he is talking about John the Baptist, right? The baptizer, I believe Ralton said it this morning, right? So he's talking about John the Baptist, and we say, why was he talking about John the Baptist? John the Baptist would have been considered a little bit of a hybrid here, okay? And I say he's a little bit of a hybrid because he is an Old Testament prophet that's also talking currently about Jesus that is here. John had a specialty situation. I personally believe that John was saved before he ever came out of the womb. Now, some of you guys would have some, how do we get to that situation? How do we understand that? I believe John would have been possibly in the top three, only with Mary and Joseph, people, the first three possibly in that realm, people that were saved in the actual presence of Jesus here on earth. Now we can go back and we can say, hey, was he there in the fiery furnace and all these situations and say yes, and we believe that he probably was. But in this situation, when he came to earth, I believe he was one of the top three, and I get that by reading in Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1 says, starting in verse 39, in those days Mary set out and hurried to town in the hill country of Judah, where she entered Zechariah's house and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped inside her. Leaped inside of her. Who do you believe that baby was? John. Leaped. Even before Elizabeth, because it says after John leaped, Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. I believe John knew God before he was ever born. How cool is it that John may have been the only person that I know of that was reborn before he was born? Is that not crazy to think about this? Go through that Luke process. That is how God works. John's purpose from the very beginning was to share the gospel, to share Jesus. And in that sharing, John became really, really, really popular. So popular that people were claiming maybe John is something more than just a prophet. We're going to go follow John and his beliefs. And John actually has to sit back at a point in time and say, wait a minute. I'm not here to tell you about me, but someone that is greater than me. You say, well, why is it that we speak here of John? Why does John speak of John the Baptist? It's because of the great following that John has. See, the problem is that when we read through in these stories that everybody for all time has always wanted to make up their own God. Have they not? I mean, we do ourselves to a certain degree. Can we agree to that, that in our sinfulness, sometimes we have the desire to make up our own God? Sometimes we read some things that we don't like, that we don't agree with in the Bible. Anybody ever went through and tried to prove something wrong that you just didn't like? Yeah, I know that I have. Especially when you get into certain theologies and doctrines and that sort of thing, you try to go in and you come in with an idea that you want to, that you believe, and that belief could be maybe because your parents told you your whole life, or because some preacher, or maybe it just sounds really cool because it's different from what everybody else believes, but we want to come up with our own religion and our own idea. Right, so all these people see what John's doing and all the baptizing and everything, and to the point that they are putting John on this pedestal. So he has this huge following, and God, and he's proclaiming God, but people aren't seeing what he's doing. They're following him. We have pastors today that are these huge global pastors that people would believe anything that they say. And some of them are, in my opinion, I won't say Kenneth Copeland, but I'll maybe mention that name. I believe they are absolutely false prophets that use God's word to better themselves. They use God's word to bring fame and money and every other terrible thing that you can think of to themselves. John was not doing that, and in fear that the people would put him on a pedestal, he constantly proclaims, "I am not God. There is someone greater than me coming," and John speaks of that here. And what is the reason that John came? So that all might believe through him, through Jesus. He says again, he was not the light, but he came to testify about the light. John was not the light, but he came. He was not Jesus, but he came to testify about Jesus. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. Jesus was coming. As a matter of fact, we read this morning in our devotion this morning, in our time, in our Sunday school time, we talked about Abraham, and then we talked last week, and we talked about Moses this week in the burning bush. And Moses being in the burning bush, we asked, do you think that Moses knew that what God was about to do? And in the same way that I believe Mary knew, Moses may not have fully understand every aspect, but Moses also wrote the first five books of our Bible, including Genesis, that he was not a part of. I believe he knew parts of Genesis. He knew what was about to happen. He knew that God was getting ready to have the 400 years had collapsed and the time was there for him to come back in the promised land. John knew just as much as Moses knew. John knew that Jesus was coming and that it was time, and he was proclaiming him. Everything points to Jesus. Everything is a part of God's plan. And then the failure comes, doesn't it? Seems like every time that we have something that sounds great, if I were to tell you guys Jesus is coming back, we would be all excited, and that he would come back here and we would see him and everything, and there would be still some of us is like, well, he doesn't look like what we thought. It's not exactly what we thought. But literally, you saw everything. You guys know what's about to happen. You saw everything come up and come to truth. And yet some of us here would say, that's not Jesus coming back. It's got to be something greater. And John speaks of that here. It says, he was in the world and the world was created through him. And yet the world did not recognize him. Everybody knew the stories. As a matter of fact, whenever you go back, there are people in synagogues all over the world. There are Jewish people all over the world that know the scriptures for like the backside of their hand. They know every aspect of it. They knew that a Messiah was coming. They knew the wonders that would happen. They knew all the miracles. They knew everything, and they saw them. But you know what? Jesus didn't quite look like what they thought. So they rejected him. They were expecting worldly things. Some of us come into a Christian relationship, and I say Christian in the religious sense, because we're going through a hard time, and you know, we could use some money for our bills next week. So if we pray, maybe we can get some money for our bills. But wait a minute. When we came into this situation, we talked about Jesus, and he didn't look like the genie in the bottle that we were expecting. And maybe our bills didn't get paid that time, or maybe we still struggled for food, or maybe the relationships that we wanted to secure weren't secured, so God didn't look like what we thought, so we were going to create our own God. And that can't be him, because my God, in my world, I would go home to a multi-million dollar mansion. I wouldn't be working at Y12. You know, I would never be sick. Everybody would like me except for the ones that I don't like. And then I would find great joy in the fact that they are suffering and I'm not, because I have God on my side. That would be the type of God that a lot of us really desire. We act as though he's a vending machine. You know what? $10 million? Yeah. God, anybody ever, and you don't have to raise your hand, ever bought a lottery ticket and prayed that it was a winner? We really seek after that, but how many of us have prayed over the guy at work that we can't stand, or the lady that constantly gossips about everything in our book clubs? Do they still have book clubs? I don't know. For some of you that read books, maybe. We have these ideas and these things that we have, and then the same way the Jews that were there, they were expecting some great leader that was going to take them out of Rome and, you know, was going to provide them with food. And they were going to still die alone with no hope. But man, if you're lucky, maybe 100 years that you're here, most of us between 60 and 80 that we're going to be here, we were fed. And we think that's good enough. Jesus is so much more, and yet we reject him. He is so much more than just some king that provides a land where you know, there's plenty of corn and potatoes to eat. He provides eternity. Not just the temporary things. Not just to say, hey, everybody's going to be in the upper middle class. And everybody's going to be happy. All you guys will keep warm and everything. You know what? We're going to give you all free health care or whatever those things. That's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about life forever. Grace. And it can only but be done through Jesus. And yet, it says, he came to his own and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, he gave them to be the right to be children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of natural descent or of the will of the flesh or the will of man, but of God. That gets a little confusing there, especially when you get into a culture that everything's about who your ancestors are. Everything's about who your descendants are. Everything in power is about who your father was. As a matter of fact, if you go just two chapters farther in chapter 3, Jesus talks to Nicodemus there. And instead of reading over every aspect of that, I'm going to give you the gist of it. He has this conversation with Nicodemus. And Nicodemus asks this question. He says, how am I to be reborn? Had this conversation a little bit last night with my family. How are we to be reborn? Am I to crawl back into my mother's womb? We think about everything physical that we can do, right? Everything that involves us. The actual truth is what John, Brother John, what John the Baptist, what Moses, what Abraham, what Paul, what everybody is proclaiming is you can't do it on your own, but Jesus has or will or is. That doesn't mean that on these Christmas seasons that every one of us is going to wake up to 300 presents under the tree. Or that you're going to walk out with your brand new car with a big ribbon on the top of it. Some of us might. I have not. Some of us might. Some of us may wake up with things such as depression or anxiety, or feel lost or hopeless. We may not understand every aspect of what's going on in our lives. Some of us, instead of presents under the tree, may have bills on the counter. Some of us, instead of kids running around excited and happy, may be running around with kids with diseases or cancers or whatever else that are in hospitals today. Some of us may be running around without loved ones here on this earth that we had a few months ago. Some of us may be struggling in a lot of ways, but in all of those struggles, Christ is still King. Christ is still Lord. And He does not call for us to do something like go back into our mother's womb or to save ourselves. No, it says that we are reborn in the Spirit. We are reborn in God. We are made new through Christ and Christ alone. That our earthly flesh and those things here, those will be taken care of at one point in time. But we, our innermost part of us, our souls are renewed, are reborn, and are new. And it doesn't matter where you came from. It doesn't matter if you're in the highest points of the temple. It does not matter. None of that matters. What matters is, do you have a relationship with Jesus? It doesn't matter if you were like some of these in the world that you grew up in church your entire life and you think you know everything about it. You can have all the knowledge in the world. If you don't have a relationship with Jesus, then you are no better than the Pharisees that knew the scriptures and yet did not know Jesus. There is no difference. You can have every aspect of this Bible noted in your mind. You could repeat it, write it down word for word, maybe even in three or four different translations. And yet if you don't know Jesus, you know nothing. Because when it talks about the Word in the beginning, when we go back into John chapter 1 and we say, what did He say the Word was? The Word was Jesus. And if you don't know Jesus, you do not know the Word. Period. Not in the sense of knowing Him intellectually. I'm talking about you have to know Him personally. And He says, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We observed His glory. The glory is one and the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testified concerning Him and exclaimed, this was the one of whom I said, the one coming after me ranks ahead of me because he existed before me. In order to know that God is the Son, we go back and we look in Matthew 27. What a Christmas story here. If you go through all the Gospels tell the exact same story here. All four of them tell exactly what's going on. They all have their points in which, as we know, if four of us were here, four of us men, were speaking about what happened on Friday night, and we talked about one of the messages that Ralton had, and we explained those messages, all of us would give our description of what we saw that happened there, right? And those descriptions would all, hopefully, but they would all be accurate in that, yeah, I did see that, but we may write down different things, right? Something may really stick out. If you got in there and you saw the gentleman that had what was his name that had the, you were taking up money for? Chester. Had a son that passed away. And he was starting an organization that was going to help first responders, right? Some of us, that may really stick out because somebody in your family, or maybe you are a first responder, so you're really going to show that part of it, right? Or some of you may talk about the worship because there was something in the worship that was really stuck out to you. Or maybe there was something that Ralton said in that message and that came out. But when we tie all of the Gospels together, we see the fullness of the story. We can see all of it. And it doesn't mean just because one doesn't say that exact that it didn't happen. They saw different aspects. And here in Matthew, he writes in Matthew 27, starting at verse 45, about the death of Jesus. So from noon until 3 in the afternoon, darkness came over the whole land. As a matter of fact, if you read the other Gospels, this isn't just like a cloud came over. It says the sun's light was gone. We're not talking about an eclipse here. We're talking about pure darkness. No light. Do you imagine? Something that none of us has ever seen, right? The entire earth. Maybe we lock ourselves in a closet door somewhere and we can't, or go down in the cave somewhere and turn the lights off. But could you imagine being outside, maybe kicking a ball around or something, and just boom, darkness, complete darkness everywhere. From noon until 3 in the afternoon, darkness came over the whole land. About 3 in the afternoon, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, "Eli, Eli, lima sabachthani." That is, my God, why have you abandoned me? Why have you forsaken me? Why have you left me? At this moment, the fullness of our sin was placed upon him. And he cries out. And when some of those standing there heard this, they said, "He's calling for Elijah." The same guy that has been proclaiming that he is God, the same guy that has brought people back from the dead already in Lazarus and others, the same one that has healed the lepers that nobody wanted to be a part of, that brought sight back to the blind, he must be crying out for Elijah. Immediately, one of them ran and got a sponge filled it with sour wine, put it on a stick and offered him a drink. But the rest said, "Let's see if Elijah comes to save him." Totally lost here. Let's go see if the Savior and the Creator and the Sustainer of the world, if Elijah's going to come back and get him. He's been claiming that he would have to die. He even said that he would come back in a little while. And yet, maybe we can still save him. But Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and gave up his spirit. Some repeated that he said, "It is finished." Some said that he said, "Father, I give my spirit upon you, back to you." He said both of those in my opinion. Because the writers of the gospel said they heard it. "It is finished. God, come take me home." That's what Christmas is about in a land of not understanding. Jesus took our sin. Jesus saved us. Jesus allows us to see God, to be one with him. Jesus saves us from ourselves and from our sin. It says, suddenly the curtain of the sanctuary was torn in two from the top to the bottom. The earth quaked and the rocks were split. The old covenant that God has established with Moses had been fulfilled and completed, and a new covenant is now here. He is actually fulfilling what he promised to Abraham, and that you will have generations and generations that will be with me. This is when what he promised Abraham was fulfilled. We are saved. And the tombs were also opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised, and they came out of the tombs after his resurrection, entered the holy city, and appeared to many. Could you imagine going by the cemetery and people just popping up out of the ground and saying, "Oh, that couldn't have been God"? To me, that sounds unbelievably crazy. And yet, we do. When the centurion And those with him who were keeping watch over Jesus saw the earthquake and the things that had happened. They were terrified and said, truly, this man was the Son of God. And yet his own people didn't receive him. God walks, carries us, walks with us. Jesus saved us. We see him in all of creation. We see him everywhere. And yet, when it doesn't look like what we want, when we have this confusion situation where we don't understand, we make up our own gods, even though the God of the universe has already sent his Son to die for us. When he said it was finished forever. When he took the sin of the world upon himself, it wasn't a temporary thing. We were born again. And he says in John chapter 1, he finishes out here. Indeed, we have all received grace upon grace from his fullness. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son, who is himself God and is at the Father's side, he has revealed him. If you have confusion in this Christmas season of what comes next in my life, what is the purpose of my life, where am I supposed to go, have the best advice that I believe that I was ever given and that can ever be given. Seek Jesus. Seek Jesus. When you seek Jesus, he reveals God to us. He saves us. He is the only way. All of our good deeds and the things that we do to follow the law is no longer applicable to us, and the law only pushed out our sin until Jesus came to eradicate it. The law will not save you, the Bible says. It is only able to condemn you, but through Jesus we can be saved. Through Jesus, we are forgiven. And because of Jesus, we are able to have clarity instead of confusion on what Christmas actually is. It isn't about just a time to get together with your family. You can do that anytime throughout the year. It isn't a time just to get presents and hand them out. Believe me, my kids get way too many throughout the year. It isn't just a time that you can take off work. We've got the 4th of July and all these other New Year's holidays and everything else that we can do. It isn't just about the snowball fights, which I wish we were able to have. It isn't just about all of that stuff. It isn't about the going out and the shopping and all that stuff that we talk about it in. If we truly seek Jesus, then we see the cross and we see him pouring out his blood for us. And the very next picture that we see is an empty tomb claiming and clarifying to us with no confusion that Jesus is God and he is our Savior. Let's pray. Lord God, I come to you today in thankfulness of both John the Baptist and Brother John, that they were faithful in allowing you to use them to write your words, Lord. But Lord, I know that Jesus came fully to do it himself. And I ask that if anybody here is confused, that all of us are able to seek that clarity, to not be confused, Lord, but to seek that clarity and to have that clarity through Jesus and Jesus alone. Lord, I ask that you allow us to see what Christmas is, allow us to see what the new year is, allow us to see what everything is, and that it all points to you, that our celebration points to you, that everything that we do points to you, Lord. I ask that if there is anybody in this room, Lord, that has just been in a religious experience, Lord, that maybe they have created their own gods, or maybe they didn't understand the fullness of who God was, or maybe they said they were saved when they actually weren't. Lord, when they just did the religious thing or the cool thing or what they thought they were supposed to do, Lord, or maybe there are some here that have been a part of it and never turned their life to you, and it's that time, Lord, maybe you have been pressed upon them, Lord, that you give them clarity today, that you let them know that you are God, that you are our Savior, that you came here and paid for our sin, Lord, and that you saved us on that cross. Lord, allow them the relationship with you. Allow them to be reborn. Allow them to know to seek you first in everything that they do. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.